All right. I couldn't come up with a better title other than Sinful to Sinless. Amen. We're going back to Matthew chapter 1 that we started with last week. We looked at Matthew 1:1, which read the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. And we dealt with that one verse of scripture as it pertains to the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and out of that came the new covenant. And we talked about how Abraham was a sinner, David was a sinner, and yet out of them came the sinless one. And so here we're going to continue to pick it up. Sinful to sinless. This describes what we're looking at in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We have all these sinners listed, and out of all of them came the sinless one, came
Yes.
Christ, and only God. And only God could do this.
Amen.
And so I want to look at it because the genealogy exists to show that Jesus Christ was born of the nation of Israel, and that he was uniquely the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, according to the promises of God. Remember Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David. God was fulfilling his word to Abraham and David, and in the also and his word to the serpent when he told the serpent that the seed of the woman was going to bruise your head, was going to crush your head, actually. God was fulfilling his word millennia ago. Thus, God was bringing his word to pass through the history of Israel for thousands of years. Amen. And I know we want everything yesterday. Hello. But God, when he works, he deals in thousands of years. Hello.
Amen.
He was bringing his son into the earth, and it was thousands of years in the process. God would bring his sinless son through a sinful people. That's why Paul said in Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, the fullness of time, it wasn't time for Jesus to come, 700 years or 500 years after David. It wasn't time yet. But in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, and might I add, a sinful woman, born of a woman, born under the law. But in the fullness of God's time, God brought forth his son. The nation that God chose to bring forth his son was not the greatest of nations, but the least of all nations, stiff-necked and bound by sin. It's interesting what the vessels God uses to bring forth his perfections. Well, we know that God cannot use a perfect vessel to bring forth his perfections because no perfect vessels exist as it
Yes.
relates to us, right? And so God used of the nation of Israel, where he said in Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you. Tell you what, man, that messes me up every time I read it in a good way. Because the Lord, you know the Lord loves you. The Lord loves
Amen.
you. He chose you because he loves you, not for any other reason. Not for any other reason. The Lord did not choose us because of anything inherent in us. There was no merit in us that caused the Lord to choose us. He chose us because he set his love on us. My Lord God. And he goes on and says, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to his father, to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So we need to be reminded that the reason why the Lord chose us from time to time. Amen. First John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's move to our text. Matthew chapter 1, verse 2. We're going to go through this genealogy. We start with Abraham, obviously, because he's the father of faith. He's the one for whom the Abrahamic covenant was named, was established with. His name meant father of Abram meant exalted father, but Abraham meant father of a multitude or father of nations that God would make him. But even though God had established a covenant with him, we also know that Abraham was a sinner. Scholars believe that everyone was idol worshipers before God revealed himself to them because we were lost in sin. But in addition to that, we know that Abraham, from the scriptures, that Abraham was a liar. Amen. I don't want to bring up people's sin, but the fact of the matter is, when he went into Egypt, he told Sarah to say, I'm your brother. And are you a husband? No, I'm a brother. Abraham was scared. He feared for his life, and he lied. The same thing happened with Isaac, whose name means laughter. He brought laughter to his parents, but Isaac did the same thing with Rebekah when they went to the land of the Philistines. Abimelech took Rebekah, but then he restored her after finding out that she was Isaac's wife. Well, Isaac lied as well. Of course, we know about Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. He was a thief. He was a liar, right? So from the very beginning of the patriarchs, we have sinners all throughout this genealogy. Every last one of these people, Jacob, Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, Jacob begot Judah. Now, of course, Judah was the one who inherited the birthright. It should have been Reuben, but Reuben's character was flawed. And so, Jacob and God rejected him from receiving the birthright. It fell to Judah. Judah's name means praise. That's what God intended for him. But again, Judah was a liar too. All of Jacob's sons lied to Jacob when they sold Joseph into slavery. But Judah was also a covenant breaker because he promised to give Shelah to Tamar when after his two sons were killed by the Lord, and he didn't do it. And it says here that Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez or Phares, whose name means breach. Judah begot Phares and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar was his daughter-in-law. She was, Kilion? No, I'm thinking about Mahlon and Kilion with Elah in the book of Samuel. But God killed Judah's two sons and Shelah was left. And Judah promised to give Shelah to Tamar when he became of age. But when he got old enough to marry Tamar, Judah was dragging his feet for some reason and didn't give Shelah to Tamar. So Tamar went and played the harlot. And Judah ended up sleeping with his daughter-in-law. So there's sin all up in this. There's all up in this genealogy. Amen. And not only in that genealogy, in every genealogy represented here today, there's sin flying everywhere, right? Phares begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, Ram begot Aminadab, Aminadab begot Nashon, Nashon begot Salmon, Salmon, Salmon married Rahab the harlot. You say there's a harlot up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Salmon married Rahab and begot Boaz. Boaz means strength. Boaz begot Obed. Begot Obed by Ruth. Remember the Moabites. So we have Tamar. We have who else is it? Ruth and Rahab, all three of these women mentioned in this portion of scripture. And of course, later we have Bathsheba mentioned. But we have these women showing up in the genealogy of Jesus, where in a Jewish genealogy, women would never show up because it all came, it was a patriarchy. It all came through the male line, right? So Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. We know who David was. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. Amen. And yet we find all of these people in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, if you were gonna, if you had total control over the genealogy, which we none of us do, would you choose any of these people to be in the genealogy? God did. All these sinners in the genealogy of his son. But therein lies the beauty, because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to die, to give his life a ransom for many. He came to save the lost. He said the well, the healthy don't need a physician, but those who are sick. And he said, that's why I have come. And so this is absolutely the way it would be if God determined the genealogy through which his son would come. And here we have it, right? As we look at this genealogy, we're beholding the faithfulness of God in his covenant with Abraham and David through Jesus Christ, his son. Jesus Christ fulfilled both the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants. It's important to note, as I did earlier, that the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants did not forgive sins. As much as God promised Abraham, he promised him land, he promised him he was going to be a father of many nations. He gave him the sign of circumcision. He gave him a son by a miracle. He did all of this. But the Abrahamic covenant did not forgive sins. The Davidic covenant did not forgive sins. The Mosaic covenant covered sins, but it did not forgive them. Hello. Only the new covenant. Only the new covenant, where Christ says, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. Only the new covenant. And that's why Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants. He fulfilled all Old Testament covenants. Right? The new covenant through Jesus Christ did, does, and forever will forgive sins. The sins of every sinner mentioned in this genealogy could not stop the work of God through them to bring forth his perfect and sinless son. That's what I love about this genealogy, the genealogy of Luke chapter 4, the genealogy that's been written before the foundation of the world. Matthew wrote this genealogy 2,000 years ago, but before this genealogy, there was another genealogy already written down in heaven. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But there was a genealogy already written down in heaven, and your name and your name is in that genealogy. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the Woo! Hallelujah. To God be all the praise. To God be all the glory. That there's a genealogy written down in heaven, and it was written before the foundation of the world. All right. We are reminded that some of the names in this genealogy are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, because every promise of God requires faith. Every promise of God requires faith. Those mentioned had faith in or believed God's promise to them. So we start with Abraham. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11. We read in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place with which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham didn't know where he was going. But beloved, you and I know where we're going. You know, we know where we're going. Do you know where you're going? I know where I'm going. Abraham, the scripture says right here, By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Did you know that we are dwelling in a foreign country? You say, but I'm an American. I'm living in the, this is, no, no. This is a foreign country like Abraham was dwelling in the land of, dwelling in tents with Isaac. You understand? You're living in a tent. This is a temporary dwelling place. This is home. This is not the house that God has established for us. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look here. We are dwelling in a foreign country. This is not home. I know we get kind of comfortable. We think that, but this, no, this is the, we have this tension going on. You know, yeah, we're American. We're home in the body. Paul said we're absent from the Lord. He said, but we'd rather be absent. We would rather be with the Lord instead of being at home in the body.
Amen.
So, by faith, Abraham dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Why? Because the land was promised to him. It wasn't his yet. So therefore, it was like he was in a foreign country. We're dwelling right now here. God's promised us a new heaven and a new earth. This isn't ours, though. This isn't. Look, I don't want to be president. You know, I don't want anything either.
Man.
But anything here, what God has is far now.
Yes. Amen.
Said that Abraham was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Hallelujah. And then it goes on and says, this is verse 10. I hope you identify with this. For he waited for the city which has felt.
Yes, yes.
For a city.
Amen. 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 Amen.
And maker is
God.
That's
Amen.
She says it's the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
And yes, says this Mount Zion. Come on, God has made a city for us, has foundations. Guess what? That city cannot be moved.
Thank that you, Lord. Yes.
Everything down here, everything's going to be just blow. Everything. God said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Hello, so that cannot be shaken will remain. The only things that cannot be shaken are in heaven.
Amen.
They are not here. Let me tell you what. So Abraham believed God. Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. This is why this is mentioned, because Abraham's belief in God established righteousness to him from God. That's why God gave him faith to begin with, so that he could be declared righteous. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The same thing with us. Romans chapter 4. But also Abraham waited for God's city. We too believe and are waiting for the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. What are we waiting for, church? Now, listen. Because I know, what are you living for? What are we living for? What I'm living for? Living for retirement? No, I'm not living for retirement. What's the goal? What are we here for? We are here for the glory of God. We are here for the will of God. Jesus, I just read out of John chapter 6. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. You ready for this revelation? Not to do my will.
That's right.
Mine. The only man who ever lived, not to do his own will, but his Father's will in heaven. The last time I checked, everybody down here trying to get everything done what they want. Mm-hmm. Somebody off in traffic and see. I mean, they will lay you out. Just especially in these days we're living in. People get all riled up. They get, oh my goodness, they don't get what they want. They act like, you know, it's a different world we're living in, right? Okay, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. In this passage, the patriarchs had faith in God regarding things to come that affected how they lived in the present. So God had promised Abraham that his seed would be as the sand which is by the seashore. Hello. before Abraham was able to offer up his son. My goodness. Did God want him to kill him? No, he just wanted his heart to let go and to offer unto God his most prized possession. And Abraham did it. Abraham gave his most prized gift in Isaac. Isaac pronounced a bountiful blessing on Jacob and Esau. Amen. And then Jacob pronounced the blessing and set Ephraim before Manasseh. And they did all this by faith in expectation of what God said he was going to give them. Right? All by faith. Reached out and did things in this life in expectation of what God was going to do to them, do for them according to God's promise. Our faith in God should affect us, should affect the way we live now. Expectation of his return or our going to be with him should govern how we conduct ourselves in this life. Amen. For James 4 and 13 indeed says, for what is your life? It is but a vapor. It is here a one moment. I could be gone tomorrow. Hello. Come on. Look, that's the truth. Anybody could be gone Tuesday. Could be gone Friday. Could be gone. God's promise tomorrow to no one.
Right.
You promised tomorrow to no one. So our faith in God should affect the way we live, that we might be pleasing to him, that when he does call us home, we are ready to go. This woman was in the genealogy of Christ as well. Hebrews chapter 11, 31. By faith, the harlot, Rahab. You mean a harlot? Yes, a harlot. Because if that harlot didn't make it, none of us would have made it.
Yeah.
By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Peace. Rahab's faith in God spared her from the judgment of God. Rahab's faith in God spared her from the judgment of God from the nation of Israel. She believed what the spies told her. She said, we know. You know, God's giving you the city. We know that this is, said that they believed it, but they didn't do anything. Now, the rest of her family came in and said, hey, we're getting in your house. We're going to be spared. Her entire household was saved, not just Rahab. She actually married Solomon, the father of Boaz, the father of Boaz. She married Solomon. This harlot did, and that's how she is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. But she believed. And she took steps based upon her belief. She took steps to alter her future. And her future caused the steps that she took spared her own life. All those who didn't believe. Then, of course, King David's name is mentioned where the writer of Hebrews said, and what most shall we say, for the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson and Jephthah, also of David. That's King David and Samuel, prophet of the Lord and the prophets. All right. So Matthew was continuing through this genealogy, and it doesn't get any better as far as the sinful. Hello. The sinners before the Lord. And so we have David. We already mentioned him and, his shortcomings, his sins. David the king begot Solomon. So we start with the head of the Davidic covenant here. David the king began with Solomon, begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. The question has to be asked, why was Bathsheba bathing on the roof? If the king is over here walking on his roof, how can he see her from his roof? Hello. Problematic. Yeah, I'm not trying to accuse her of anything, but it's just, hey, go inside, shut the curtain, shut the door, shut everything, take your bath and proper. But no, So David and Bathsheba have Solomon. Solomon started out great. The Lord appeared to him twice. Gave him wisdom like no one else who had ever lived. And yet, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart and he began to worship idols. And he worshiped every god that his wives loved. And he begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a foolish king. So foolish that under him the kingdom was divided. Rehoboam begot Abijah, whose name means Jehovah is Father. Kings were given royal names that included the name of God, either Jehovah or Yahweh in the name. So you have Abijah, you see, Yahweh or Jehovah, Yah. And Abijah begot Asa. Asa means healer. His name actually means healer because the Lord was the Lord our God who heals us, according to Moses, right? But what was interesting in Asa, though his name meant healer, he was a king who lacked trust in God. When he should have, one time he trusted God in battle, but then the next time he didn't trust God in battle. And when he was old, he got diseased in his feet. Some scholars believe he had diabetes or gout or something. He was diseased in his feet. And when he got sick, he did not seek the Lord for healing. He did not cry out to the Lord. He didn't trust God in his old age. So we see the sin running from generation to generation. Verse 8, Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means Yahweh has judged. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram means Yahweh is exalted. And Joram begot Uzziah or Azariah, the Yah. You see the Yah in a whole lot of these names. Azariah means Yah has helped. He broke the law of God. He was the one who ran into the temple and wanted to usurp the priest duties and offer incense to God and was stricken with leprosy. And so the sin ran rampant. Uzziah begat Jotham. Jotham means Yahweh is perfect. Hello. Jotham begot Ahaz or Ahaziah. That's what Ahaz would be short for. His name means he has grass. Again, usurping. He burnt his children in the fire to Molech. Right? And Ahaziah begat Hezekiah. Hezekiah means Yahweh has strengthened. Now, Hezekiah wholly followed the Lord. He only left the Lord in one thing, and that is when the Babylonian ambassadors came, and he didn't exalt the Lord after the Lord had healed him and given him 15 more years of life. Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Manasseh means causing to forget, because indeed Manasseh forgot the Lord and turned away from him. He left the Lord. He was an apostate. Manasseh begot Amon. And Amon was the name of a local deity, a false god. Actually, the name of a false god made it into the name of the kings of Judah. Ammon begot Josiah. Josiah means Yahweh supports him. He was a good king. He was a reformer. But alas, he died because he didn't listen. Amen. He didn't listen to the king, whichever king, I think it was the king of Israel who smote him and killed him in battle. Josiah begat Jeconiah, which means the Lord establishes. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried away to Babylon. The death that all these people experienced, Christ would experience to deliver them from death. Hello. All of these who look forward to the cross through the blood sacrifice in the Old Testament, Christ would deliver them from death through his blood shed upon the cross. Hebrews 2:9 tells us that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And indeed, he did taste death for these as well. Then the last third, Matthew 1:12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel. Shealtiel means I asked of God. Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, which means seed of Babylon. Zerubbabel begot Abiah. My father is majesty is what his name means. Abiah begot Eliakim. Eliakim begot Azor. Azor begot Zadok. Zadok begot Akim. Akim begot Eliel, which means God my praise. Eliad begot Eleazar, which means God is helper. Eleazar begot Matan, and Matan begot Jacob. We know what Jacob means, and Jacob begot Joseph. Joseph means he will add. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So in this genealogy of Jesus Christ, there was sin of every sort, bar none. There was incest, adultery, murder, you name it. It was all in there. Every commandment of God was broken, of the Ten Commandments. Every commandment was God, from worshiping other gods to making idols to you name it. Every commandment was broken. Yet, Christ was born of their lineage. From sinful to the sinless, and only God could do that. Glory to God. God could accomplish that. And we're here today. We're here today because we were sinful, and now God has made us sinless. Amen. In the lifetime, He did it for them. Amen. He's going to us, and it was all through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wherefore we magnify Him. Wherefore we bless him. Wherefore throughout all of eternity we will be blessing him. Mm. All right. This genealogy shows God's commitment to Israel and to fulfilling his covenant through his son Jesus Christ. From Abraham to Jesus Christ was about 2,062 years. Mm. Working his plan, bringing it to pass. Of course, from Adam, we know just from Adam and his son Seth, probably 2,000 years all by himself, because Adam lived till he was 930 years old, and Seth lived till he was 912 years old. So, but from Abraham to Jesus Christ, when I tallied it up on different websites and all that, it came up to about 2,062 years. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David till the captivity of Babylon was 14 generations. From the captivity of Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. So from Abraham to Jesus was 2,062 years. And Jesus has been gone for about 2,000 years. And the Bible says that 1,000 years are as a day unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. Jesus only been gone for 2 days. Hello. When was Jesus resurrected? He was resurrected on the third day. Hello. He was resurrected on the third day. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Just say he is coming back. And when he comes, every eye is going to see him, and there's going to be a judgment. Hello, we don't know what that is, but we know where to be ready. Mm. Right? Okay, what I wanted to share, though, was just like the Jews kept records of families, and who belonged to what family, so God has a record. So God has a record. Where did that come from, anyway? God has a record, a book, that has the names of those who belong to his family. We see it all throughout the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to the church at Sardis, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Mm-hmm. Some people read this scripture and shake and say, what if I don't overcome? What if I don't overcome? Read it backwards. Read it. those whose names are in the book of life, they're going to be clothed in white garments and they will overcome. It is a promise of God. If your name is in the book of life, you will be clothed with white garments and you will overcome. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, all that God gives to me, I will lose none of them. Hello. So for anyone's care, well, maybe I'll mess up and we'll make it. No. No, that's not possible. Why? Because you getting here wasn't of your choosing. God did it. God did it. You didn't do it. God did it. And God is working in each and every one of us. The Bible says, he who began a good work in you
mm-hmm.
shall complete it to the day of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who started this salvation? This God did.
Okay. Amen.
Jesus did. Who gonna finish it? Jesus. Receiving the end of your faith. 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. God gave you faith so that you can receive the end of it, which is not a Cadillac, a Lexus, or a Tesla. It is you to receive salvation.
Amen.
When Jesus returns, that you're gonna be fully saved, the redemption of the body. That's why God gave us faith. And that's why our name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. There's a genealogy already written in heaven and is written in the book of life. All true believers overcome and are clothed in his white garments, which is the righteousness of God. All true believers' names are written in the book of life. Revelation 13:8 declares, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Worship who? The beast. You say, what is the beast? Well, I'm not teaching on the book of Revelation, but the beast is a world system that people put their trust in. It's a worldly system. And the scripture says, who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Christ was slain from the foundation of the world in the will of God the Father. Now, it happened in space and time 2,000 years ago, but in the will of God, in the mind of God, it happened before the foundation of the world. And the book of life was established before the book of life of the Lamb was established before the foundation of the world. Your name was written down in heaven's genealogy. Hello.
Amen.
My God, my God. You talk about shouting ground. Want to just get up and run somewhere. My Lord God. When you think about what God has done, hallelujah. To reject the worship of the true and living God is to worship whatever prevailing power that there is, in this case, the beast or the world system. But those who have their names written down in the book of life, they will not worship the beast. Why? Because they worship God. According to John 4:4, Jesus said that God is the spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said that the time is now is where the true worshipers shall worship the Father. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. Right? Be registered in the book of life from the foundation of the world is to be a worshiper of the Lamb of God and of him who sits on the throne only, for the Father seeks such to worship him. Revelation 17:8, the beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life. Who will marvel? Those people will count it a wonder when they see this beast, this world system. They'll think it's the greatest thing. Oh my goodness, look at that. The people only those who will marvel are those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Those whose names are written in the book of life will not marvel at the beast. Will not marvel at the world system. Why? Because their trust is in God. Hello? Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, he said, listen, don't eat what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. He says, your Father provide all these things. See, look at the grass. God clothes the grass of the birds, how he feeds the birds. Of how much more value are you? He said, don't worry about all those things. So when you find yourself not worrying, just know you're growing in God. When you find yourself not worrying about the things of this life, you see that God has provided everything you needed from the day you were born all the way to this day. God has carried you. You're not worried about that. Hello. Why? Because you know God has you in the palm of his hand. God has recorded those who are his from the foundation of the world. God has recorded those who are his. Not the Jews. God has recorded. Those who are his believe, and they believe until the end of life or the end of time itself. Those whose names are written in the book of life. In John, the scripture that I shared for communion, in John chapter 6, when Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life. Do you know that many of his disciples turned and walked away from him? What did that mean? That meant their names, even though they followed Christ for a while, but they did not endure to the end. Their names were never written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hello. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Hello. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books, plural, were opened. You telling me there's more than one book yet? Well, that's what the scripture says. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So in this scripture, we know there are at least three books. At least three books in heaven. One is the book of life. The scripture says, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So we know that that the things that we do in this life, heaven has a record of it. Most important book, the book that you want your name in, the book that our name is in through Christ being the head. He's the first Adam. He's the second Adam, rather, through which all of us are begotten from. Our names are in his book, the book of life. The book of life is the determining factor in eternal life or eternal death. Why do I say that? Well, because of this scripture, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you, this is a genealogy. There's a book written. When Matthew 1:1 says, this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, we see all these sinners. Hello. Well, in heaven, we have a book written. And from Jesus flowed all of these righteous people. Hello. And our names are written in that genealogy. Hello. Revelation 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles. Enter what? This is talking about the city now. The city of God. But there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. You mean there's no lie in this city? We sure enough not talking about Jerusalem down here. We sure enough not talking about any city on earth because there's no lie in that city. Man, we lie like we breathe. Well, not all of us. Some of us. Okay. People lie just as soon as breathe. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are going to enter this city. I'm going to enter this dwelling. Remember I told you that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God? Okay. This is the city Abraham was looking for. This is the city Abraham was waiting for. Right? Mm-hmm. And the role of that city. Back in the day, they would write down the names of everyone who lived in the city. Matter of fact, our names are written down in Fairfax County. If you live in Fairfax County, your name is on a roll. They know everybody who's living, or at least supposed to be. You know, if you got a residence and all this, they have your name written down somewhere. Those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life will be perfected and unable to sin. having been created in the image of the sinless Lamb of God. That's the only way we're able to live in this city. In this city. And now in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, we used to sing a song when I was a teenager. City, oh city, oh city of God, our glorious things are spoken of thee. And this psalm is writing about physical Zion, natural Zion. And we read, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself shall establish her. This city, God's going to establish this city. Not the Zion that was overrun, come on, and is no more. No, not that Zion. God's going to establish this city. And what it says about this city, this Zion, the Lord will record. The Lord will record. When he registers the people, the Lord is going to record everybody who's living there that this one was born there. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. You must be born again in order to have inhabitants in this city. In this city. All right, a couple more scriptures and I'm done. Don't get nervous. All right. So this Zion is speaking of natural Zion, but there's a heavenly Zion. There's a spiritual Zion. Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, but you've not come unto that mountain, that Mount Sinai, where Moses quaked. He feared for his life. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, amen, the heavenly Jerusalem. The writer of Hebrews tells us this is the heavenly Jerusalem, amen, the heavenly Zion. Hmm? And so where it says here, God establishes it. God will record the people who are born there. He's registered. He's talking about the heavenly Zion, that city in glory where our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. All right. Revelation 22:19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city. Here this scripture equates the book of life, his part from the book of life, and from the holy city, and from the things which are written in his book. They're equated. He will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city. In other words, to be a part of this holy city and to be in the book of life are one and the same. One and the same. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. This book, Matthew, this genealogy was written because there was already a genealogy written in heaven. There was already a book written, established in heaven. That's why Jesus came in the flesh. He secured all those names that are written in heaven to secure their salvation through his shed blood. That's why he came. And then our last scripture, Jesus said this, nevertheless, to those, I'll cast out a demon. I know what it is to cast out a demon. So, hey, they cast out demons. And Jesus said to them, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your amen names are written in heaven.
Amen.
When did our names get written in heaven? Hmm? Their names were written before the foundation of the earth, before the foundation of the world. God established the book of life, and he wrote down every name he was going to save, every name that he was going to give to his son, and his son would lose none of them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Any questions or comments on the teaching? Amen. My prayer is that you will rejoice in the salvation that God has established for you and I through the cross of Jesus Christ, his son, and in all things glorify him, whatever the cause. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, church. God bless you. Thank you for coming on. Yes. Thank you for being faithful. And I pray the Lord's blessing over your day and indeed the rest of your week. We'll see you next week.
Be blessed.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
God bless you.
God.